how we are to be, the kind of church that the world needs to see in us, the kind of church that God wants us to be in these last days in which we're living. We certainly have no problem understanding that we're in troublesome times. We're in desperate, dark days of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard someone say that the time probably on the clock was about 11:49, and the ticks go by. I dare say we may be at 11:59. I tell you, we are close to the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are so close to the midnight hour that the world doesn't even realize what is going on and does not realize what's taking place. And history, people of this age are sitting by watching, and they're wondering what in the world is going on in our country, what in the world is happening in the world. And what it all boils down to is that we are getting ready for Jesus to come. And things are certainly going to change. I'll be reading this morning out of the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And be reading a few verses there. As we talk about these last days and the church that we need to be in these last days. Let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, verse number 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober or in control. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we be awake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. I pray the Lord would bless His Word this morning as we have read it. If you go back to the book of Daniel, and we do not have time to make that type of a study this morning, but you'll remember that Daniel was one of those young men that was carried away to the Babylonian captivity when he was just a teenager. And from that moment on, he grew up in a foreign country. He grew up in a land that was eating different food and he was living with foreigners, and he never returned to the homeland, never returned to Jerusalem or to Israel. But God gave him some wonderful prophecies for the future. God gave him some things that are mind-boggling even to us today. There are some things that Daniel has in his prophecy that is very difficult for us to comprehend and to understand, and there are some things in the book of Revelation that you will never understand unless you can get understanding out of the book of Daniel. And God gave him some wonderful things. He gives us an outline of what the Jewish history would be. In Daniel chapter number 9 and verse 24 down through verse 26 or 27 literally gives you the outline of what world history would be in these last days. It goes from the beginning of the rebuilding of the temple, to the cutting off of the Messiah, and to the coming of the Lord. And so Daniel gives many, many details and gives a time frame there. And when you study that, you'll find that there are some 490 years that are determined upon the people of Israel. He says, upon thy people. And as God counts the time, God only deals with the world in His time. He doesn't count it on our time. And the clock of the Lord stopped when the Lord was offered up, when the crucifixion. And we're living in what we call the church age. I believe that's the best way to describe this period of time that we're living. Some folks call it the age of grace, but I believe every age has been an age of grace. But the church is a mystery to many, many people. It's certainly a mystery to the Jew, and Paul tells us some things about that mystery. But we're living in that gap of time, which we call the church age or Gentile time, that the Lord is dealing with people and bringing them to Himself through the preaching of the gospel that has been ordained by the Lord Jesus for the church to go into all the world and do that. That's why we have missionaries. That's why we support missions. That's why we have missions conferences. That's why we have missionaries come by, because the Lord has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And He gave that command to His church. And so we are His church, and therefore we are to be obedient to the command He gives us. So we're living in that gap age, or that age of the church that we have, that the Lord has opened up the door of salvation to whosoever will, that we sang about this morning. And if we will come unto Him, He will save us. We find that this church age that we're talking about began with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will end when the Lord returns to take us home to be with Him in glory forever and forever. He's going to take us to heaven. The church occupies a dateless, signless period, sometimes called that church age or that gap period of time that God is dealing with this world. But one day soon, I believe very soon, there's going to come that word, and the trump of the Lord shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them forever to be in the air. We call that the rapture. And so we are living in the moments right before that. It could happen today. As I said a moment ago, there's no it's a dateless time. God doesn't tell us how long it's going to last. And He doesn't give us any signs to when it's going to end. The only thing He gives us a sign to is the coming of the Lord in glory. And so we find that we're living in that period of time that's called the last days. And I believe we're living in the moments, the last moments of the last days. And soon and very soon, Jesus shall appear. We need to remember this morning that the world is headed for an appointment with God. It does not matter what the world leaders do or what the world leaders say or how they gather together and try to make all their plans for the days ahead. It's not going to matter, because there is an appointment day that God has for this world. No one will cancel it, and by the way, no one will miss it either. Every believer this morning is appointed also unto a meeting with God. I'm glad, thank God, it's going to be a good meeting. And we which are alive shall be called up to be with the Lord. Every lost person who refuses to receive the Lord Jesus Christ is also headed for an appointment with God. And that's not going to be in a good appointment. We that are alive, we shall go to be with the Lord. Those that have died in Christ will meet us in the air. And those that have been left behind, those that are non-believers, one day going to stand before God. And some will say, Lord, did we not? We were good people. Some of us even preached. Some of us did different things in the church. And the Lord said, I never knew you. You see, the relationship that we have with the Lord is not our good works that we perform, but is a knowledge of Jesus Christ in our heart. It's not what we do, but it is accepting what He has done for us. And so the time that we are coming up to, we call the tribulation time. Well, what kind of church are we supposed to be right before that? And I believe we'll see some things this morning that'll help us. The tribulation is going to be a time of the wrath of God. The Bible says here this morning that we read that that God has not appointed us unto the wrath. I'm so thankful today that the wrath of God has been removed from the believer. We're not appointed to that day of wrath. That's why we believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. I don't believe in this late rapture stuff. I believe He's coming. I believe He's coming for us. We're going to go to be with Him. And I believe we're all going. Now, I don't believe in this split rapture stuff. If we're saved, we're going to be with the Lord forever. He's coming after us. And because this is going to be a time of the wrath of God and the judgment of God upon this world, for the Jew primarily, because of their rejection of the Son of God, and also upon the Gentile because of their rejection of the preaching of the Son of God. It'd be a time of great anger and trouble. The world will be distressed. The world will be in desolation and destruction and darkness. Be a time of great punishment. All you have to do is read from Revelation chapter 4 on and you'll find out what kind of world it's going to be. I don't want to be here. I thank God I'm not going to be here. But we are here right now. So therefore, that hasn't come about. One of the reasons Paul was writing to the Thessalonian people was that someone had written them a forged letter with his name on it, that the day of Christ had already come and gone and they'd gotten left behind. That hasn't happened. And so Paul writes to correct that. And you and I this morning, we have the Word of God before us that we can understand and we can know that as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a certain way that God wants us. There's a certain way that the world expects us to be. There's a certain need that the church has in these last days. So I want us to deal with three things this morning which describe the kind of church that we need to be in the last days of this church age. First of all, I believe we need to find in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, we read these verses, but in verses 1 through 4, I believe we find here the church, the kind of church that God wants us to be, and that is a church that is to be aware. I believe we need to know where we are. I believe we don't need to stick our head in the sands and say, well, it'll get better. My friend, it's not going to get any better. We believe the news report. They're always telling us things are going to get better, but they only get worse. We woke up this morning and gas was higher than it was 2 or 3 days ago, maybe. And guess what? In 2 or 3 days, it's probably going to be higher than it is now. They're talking this summer, even $6-7 a gallon. What are we going to do? Better learn to trust the Lord. Better get on right standards with God, because He's the only one that can make it work and help us. And so God wants us to be a certain kind of church in these last days, and He wants us to be aware of what's around us and what's going on. Verse number 4, where we read a moment ago, says, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that the day should overtake you as a thief." He's talking about the day of the Lord, or the coming of God, the coming of Christ. That day that is spoken of in verse 4 is talking about the tribulation period. And he says, you are in the daylight, you're not in darkness. And so therefore, that day should not overtake you as a... And he uses here something that we all understand. He uses the word thief. Now we know what a thief is. That's someone that comes in suddenly. He comes in unannounced. He comes in secretly. He comes in with us unknowing what is going to take place. He's a thief. He's a robber. And so therefore, he comes under the disguise and under darkness many times. Paul uses this picture of a thief concerning what we are to be, that we are not to be overtaken. You see, in verse 1, 2, and 3, we find that there are those that are overtaken, there are those that are crying peace and safety, and then sudden destruction comes. But ye, brethren, Christians, Paul's writing to the church of Thessalonica. He's writing to that church that we studied about not too long ago on our Wednesday night time as we went through the book of Acts, that Paul went into that city of Thessalonica. And there were people that got saved, and there was a church established, and it began to grow and flourish. And now, some time later, he writes this book, or writes this letter, and we call it 1 Thessalonians. And he writes a second letter to them, we call 2 Thessalonians. So he's writing to this local church. And he says, brethren, you're not of the darkness, but that day should overtake you as a thief. That day is going to come suddenly. Verse 2 says, yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He comes unannounced. He comes unaware. He comes secretly. He doesn't come singing and blaring out the trumpets. He sneaks around his intended victims and he comes quietly and he plans a break-in and he plans a robbery. So we're not to be overtaken with the coming of the Lord. It should not surprise us that He comes. I believe we ought to live in the anticipation Jesus is coming. I believe we ought to live every day of our life thinking, is this the day? Could this be the day that Jesus comes again? Because we're not in darkness, and He's not going to come and take us as a thief in the night. He's going to come, and we're going to be looking for Him, and we're going to be desiring, and we need to be aware of what is happening. The day of the Lord will be sudden, and the day of the Lord will be a surprise. Here He uses in verse number 3, He says, "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Sudden destruction, surprise coming upon them. Peace and safety. Turn on your TV this afternoon and you'll hear the good news. Everything's going to be all right. You turn on the religious broadcasters, you know what you're going to hear? You're going to see somebody up there smiling from ear to ear, and he says, "It's going to be okay. Everything will be well. Just send me your $100 seed, and I'll plant it, and it'll come up." Yeah, it comes up. They drive their limousines and fly their airplanes and do what they want to do on your $100 seed. You know what they're doing? They're separating themselves from what God says that we are to do for our local church. Now here we find that the Lord tells us there's going to be false messengers and false prophets. They're going to come with a false message, peace and safety. And when the church is removed from the earth, the lost and unsaved, they're going to rejoice and be glad that we're out of their way. Well, we're no longer a problem to them now. We're no longer a discouragement to their ideas. And we're no longer the old fogies and the ancients that just do not understand modern ways of thinking and the modern way of worship and the modern way of doing and all those things. And we've been removed, and they're going to be so glad about that. Shouldn't be surprising to us that they hate us. Shouldn't be surprising to us that they don't like us, because our message is always opposite of what their message is. Our message is always in opposition to what they desire and what they think and what they want. And so we find that they have the sudden destruction comes upon them. You know, there's been people for years that have told us that California is very prone to earthquakes. Scientists have long been warning people that an earthquake of devastating effect will come to that part of our country. And people just keep on building their multi-million dollar houses. And in peace and safety, they're okay. They do not take the warning. They do not take the message that has been given. There's a multitude of people today, spiritually speaking, that have been warned and warned and warned, and they do not take the warning. Oh, I've heard people talk about Jesus coming all my life. He hadn't come yet. Well, just get ready. He's coming. It's going to be a sudden event. It's going to be a surprising event to some, but should not be to us because we're not of the darkness. Sometimes when we talk about the coming of the Lord, sometimes people stretch and yawn and say, "I've heard this all my life." Just doesn't really affect them. When the Bible says the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and living shall be raised. Some people say, "Yeah, I heard that a few years back." It doesn't affect them. It ought to excite us. It ought to make us rejoice to know that we're living. I believe we're in this second coming generation. I believe we're living in the time when we shall see the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the air. We'll hear the sound of the trumpet, and the world needs to know that He's coming, but yet they just will not take the warning. He uses the illustration of coming suddenly as a thief. He uses another illustration of a woman with child. You see, the day of the Lord is going to come swiftly, very quickly. And the Lord uses, it says, "Then sudden destruction cometh them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Paul uses here a lady that is with child, ready to be delivered. Just as that woman does not know exactly, and it doesn't matter how many times the doctor tells you what day it is, they do not know either. How many times we've been told it's going to be this day? Well, now they can make it happen, but if they leave natural things to themselves, they cannot tell you exactly. But you know it's close. You know it's even at the door, it's coming. And when that baby gets ready to come, guess what? You go to the doctor. You head to the hospital. You know what? When Jesus gets ready to come, He's coming. As a woman travails with a child, so is the travail of the coming of the Son of Man. And we need to be aware of the day and the hour in which we live. We need to understand that no politician is going to straighten it out. I don't care what you call him. I don't care who you call him. Politics is not the answer. Preaching is the answer. It is not the policies of the world, but it's the messages that God gives His men and His preachers that would proclaim the gospel. We need to be aware that we don't have a lot of time. We need to be aware that we're not just here for a few years and it'll go on, because one day it's going to end. One day, the Father's going to say, "Son, go get your bride." No man knoweth the day nor the hour, except the Father in heaven. And you and I this morning, we are brethren, and we're not in darkness. We have the light of this book. We have the message of God's Word. We have the open book before us. We have the understanding. We have every means available that we could understand God's Word, and we use very little of it. My, the helps are so vast now. All you got to do is turn on your computer. All you got to do is take out your phone. Hook up to the internet and you've got a world of information. No reason for the child of God, no reason for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ not to know where we are. Because all the things around us point to the coming of our Lord. So God wants our church to be aware. He doesn't want us to be asleep. He doesn't want us to be in darkness. He doesn't want us to be at ease. He doesn't want us to be sitting back. He wants us to be aware. And so therefore, if we are aware of where we are, we need to be busy about what He has told us to do. The last day's church is right now. It's not tomorrow. Number two, Satan needs to know that we are awake. Satan will lull us to sleep if he can, but he needs to know that Grace Baptist Church is awake, that we're aware of what's taking place, and we're aware of his deeds and his ungodliness. We're aware of where he is and what's taking place. Verse number 5 says, "We're children of the light. We're children of the day, we're not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." The word sober there means in your right mind, understanding what's going on. To be soberly minded. You see, Satan has a lot of folks living in darkness. He's lulled a lot of churches to sleep and they're in darkness. He has a lot of churches that name the name of whatever you want to call them, but they're in darkness because they have not the gospel. They believe not the Lord. And so he has many folks living in darkness according to verse 5 because we are not of the night. If we are not of the night, that means there are some that are of the night. If we are of the day and we are of the light, then there are those that are of the darkness and of the night. And Satan needs to be aware and Satan needs to know that Grace Baptist Church is awake to the Word of God. And that we need to stand upon the principles of God's Word. Satan needs to see a church that's living in the light of the gospel. To tell people, now you can be assured That when Satan sees that, when Satan knows that, his attack is going to come at you. Darts are going to fly. Well, I'd rather he attack us as for God to say, you're lukewarm. I'd rather he attack and we undergo the attack of the wicked one as for the Lord to say, I'll spew you out of my mouth, Laodicea. Satan has many lost living in darkness. Satan has people that are living in drowsiness. Look at verse number 6. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others. There are others that are asleep. There are others that are not doing. There are others that are not giving or going or doing anything for the Lord. But let us watch and be sober. He has many that's in darkness. He has many that's in drowsiness or sleeping. Satan needs to see Grace Baptist Church living in the light of the times where we are. Satan has a lot of people living in their drunkenness. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Satan has a lot of those. But he needs to see a church that is being not drunk with wine, but being filled with the Spirit of God. That's what the book says. See, a person that has lost their facilities through the drink, they act funny. They do strange things. They make decisions that are sort of off the wall. But you know what? If a person is filled with the Spirit of God, he's going to act strange to the world. He's going to act different. And the decisions that we make for Christ, they'll look and say, well, that's funny. But it's because we're being led by the Holy Spirit of God. By the way, He lives within us. Why don't we let Him lead us? He lives in our heart. He lives in our soul. The Spirit of God, when we got saved, came in and took up His abode. We are the temple of the Lord. We are the house of God. We are the temple of God. And so therefore, He lives within us through the Holy Spirit. And He is to lead us and to guide us. And Satan needs to find a church and needs to see a church that's living in that realm of being led by the Holy Spirit. That's the last day church. That's the church of this day. Then thirdly, in verses 8 through 11, the world needs to see a church that is alive. God needs to see a church that's aware. He wants us to be aware. He needs to see a church that knows what's going on. Satan needs to see a church that's awake, not asleep. But the world out there, outside those doors back there, the world out there needs to see a church that is alive. Verse 8, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for a helmet the hope of salvation. You know what this church, you know what this Paul is telling this church to do? Get ready for battle. Get ready because the battle is raging. It's coming. He said, us who are of the day. We're not of the darkness. We're not of the night. We're not asleep. We are aware. So we're to put on the Bible says put on the whole armor of God. And Paul uses a few of the phrases here. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. We're not appointed to the wrath of God. We've been saved from that wrath. We've been delivered from the wrath that is to come. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. The world needs to see a church that has resurrection power, that has been resurrected by the Word of the Lord and given to us. And needs to see a church where people are getting saved and people are getting rescued and people are getting reclaimed. That's what the church is all about. Somebody said, I don't believe I want that kind in our church. I take all kinds we can get. Just get them with the Lord, they'll be all right. Well, that fella, he's a drunkard. If he gets saved, he'll be sober. Well, that lady, she don't live right. She gets saved, she'll live right. Well, they don't have any things of this world. They don't need things of this world. They need things of God. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the rescuing business. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Care for the erring ones. If we're not here for that, then we're not here for the right reason, the right purpose. Just shut the door, lock it, and throw away the key and forget about it if that's not what we're for. A church that's telling people they need to be saved. This morning, I have no idea who is and who is not a Christian. I don't know who believers are, but I'll tell you what, I can tell you the story Jesus saves. And the story goes forth and the message carried out and the gospel is preached from Grace Baptist Church. We must remember, Brother Gallagher said that this morning, we must remember the church is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. The church is about Him. And when we lose that perspective, when we lose that vision and that view, then we have gone the wrong direction. It's about reaching the lost. It's about reaching the unsaved of our world and our state and our country and our community. Rescuing those that are going under for the third time. All hope gone. I don't know how many people have said to me, I don't have any more hope. Oh, but there is hope. Church, the world needs to see us as a church of resurrection power. As Lazarus was raised from the dead, is a picture of every one of us that's been raised from the dead. Loose him. Let him go. As Jesus called Lazarus by name, one day He called me by name. One day He called you by name. He knew where you lived. He knew your need. He knew what circumstances you were in. And isn't it amazing how God could put things just in order to make it all work right? He's God. And the world around us needs to see a church that's willing to do what it takes to lead people to Christ. The world needs to see a church that will exalt Him as Lord. Jesus is Lord. That word "is" there makes it emphatic. No questions asked. Well, He's Lord if... No. He's Lord. Well, He's Lord if you'll let... No. He's Lord. If I don't let Him actively be Lord in my life, then I'll stand before Him. But He is Lord. If I don't let Him control me, I'll answer to Him. But He is Lord. And the community we live, I'm convinced, needs a church that will acknowledge that He's Lord. Come what may, He's in control. Someone put it this way, has it ever occurred to you that it never occurred to God? You'll get that in a minute. Sometimes we say, oh, that just occurred to me. That's not God. Because with God, God knows it all from the present, past, future. Our Lord is not in the heavens wondering what's going to happen next month. We do enough of that for Him. Our Lord is not in the heaven wringing His hands. Our Lord is in the heaven as potentate. If you don't know what that word means, go get you a good dictionary. It means He's supreme. He's ruler. He's Lord. Our community needs to see a church that cares about people. Our community needs to see a church that will exalt and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of what goes on around us, regardless of what is the norm for the day, regardless of what is accepted or unaccepted. The world around us needs to see a church that's dedicated to the worship of God. Our world needs to see a church that He is the dominating power. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Our help is in Jesus Christ. Our inheritance is in Jesus Christ. And one of these days, we're going to see Jesus Christ. So this last day church is a church that needs to make a statement. I'm not interested in national popularity. I'm not interested in the news commentators coming and trying to trick you by their questions. I'm not interested in building some kind of empire. Not interested in having notoriety. But I am interested in knowing that God takes note of us. That we stand where He wants us to stand. And we do what He wants us to do. And we put Him and let Him obtain the right position that He rightfully deserves. And that is Lord. Paul said to this church of Thessalonica, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness." My friend, this morning, Grace Baptist Church is not in darkness. This church has been and has always been established and founded upon the truths of God's Word. I believe this church has always preached the truth of God's Word. Hadn't always been accepted by people, but it's still been preached. And that's all that really matters. Somebody says, "Well, will we be accepted?" Doesn't matter. The important thing is, will the Lord say, "Well done, thou good faithful servant"? So, last week we found out how to pray for the church in these last days. This week, we found out what kind of church we need to be in these last days. And I believe that will better help us to know how to pray for our church in these last days. The church of Jesus Christ is the most important entity upon the face of God's earth to get the gospel out. That's how He's commissioned it. God started the home. God started the church. You can't have a good church without good homes. May God help us to do and to say and to be what we ought to be for Him, because we're living in that little gap we call church age. And as it moves closer and closer and closer to the coming of the Lord, oh, may God help us to not be in darkness, to not be in the night, because, brethren, we are of the day. We know. Therefore, let's do. Let's stand together this morning.